الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، ما بعد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. So we're going to transition more now into the heart of the matter, so to speak. There's a couple of terms I wanted to discuss first. One of them is the three words. One is what we call ism. An ism is the Arabic word for a name. And an ism is an alama. It's dal al ma'na fil ghayr. So it indicates a meaning, but it indicates an independent meaning in and of itself without any indication of time. The second term is musamma, and that's the thing that is named by the ism. And the last term is tasmiyah, and that's the actual act of naming something. And so there's an ikhtilaf about the ulama, whether or not these are synonymous or not synonymous. I think the Mu'tazilites, they actually believe that the name and the named are the same. But, you know, according to the predominant opinion, the ism and the musamma and the tasmiyah, these are all different things. And the practical implication of that is that when you say Allah, is that really Allah himself? Or is the name different from the thing that it represents? And this has to do in general with our conception of what words are. Like, words are typically symbols. You know, in Arabic we say wadi ul-lugha, someone who takes a word and they coin the word to represent some meaning beyond itself. And that was one of the beautiful parts of the Arabic language, is it's precise in a very unique way, because it reflects different aspects of reality with such accuracy that they had particular words to describe particular aspects of reality. And that's one of the reasons that the Quran was revealed in the Arabic language, because it had those nuances and you could capture those nuances. And as we go through the Asma'ul Husna, we're going to see that there's many names which seem very similar, right? Like Ghafir, Ghafur, Ghafar, Al-Ahad, Al-Wahid, so on and so forth. There's going to be several examples of this. Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. And so there's a difference of opinion whether or not when you have two names, which are what we call a mutaradif, they're like synonymous, whether they point to the same reality, right? We have two different names so you have name A and name B, do both of them point to the reality X? Or is this point A, name A point to reality X and name B point to reality Y? And the second opinion is more correct. It just so happens, though, that reality X and reality Y are actually sort of close to each other. And so it's actually highlighting different aspects, different subtleties, or dimensions of meaning, and bringing to our attention those subtle different realities. As we go through the names, one of the things that to keep in mind is, yes, one aspect or one benefit going through the names is to know Allah and to gain the ma'rifah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the second aspect of it is that we try to imbibe within our own selves aspects or reflections of certain names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So not all of them, but some of them that are munasib or appropriate for human beings. So for example, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ghafoor, then we take a lesson for that in ourselves, that we should also try to be merciful, to be forgiving towards others. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Halim, then we reflect that by showing forbearance to others. There's certain things, certain names that are, you know, khas with Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Jabbar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Aziz. Some things that we don't, you know, Al-Kibriya or Ridai, that, you know, pride is the cloak of Allah. That's not appropriate for any human being to reflect. Some things are khas with Allah. But other names, we do reflect, and that's one of the things I'll try to bring up through the course of this series. And so this falls under a general rubric of تَخَلَّقُوا بِأَخْلَاقِ اللَّهِ, right? That you try to imbibe within you the different aspects of the divine characteristics of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, it was once asked that, and I think it comes in Sharh al-Baydawi, that what is the intiha, what is the final stage of ma'rifah, of knowing Allah? Right? And actually they asked, what is the ma'adha manzalatul ma'arifin? So the person, ma'rifah is this recognition and knowing Allah, and the person who knows Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we call him an arif. Right? There are certain awliya, they should have the laqab al-arif billah, no, arif billah. So they just knew Allah. You know, one of the ulama, he was a student. He was a student of a big sheikh, and he was and the sheikh didn't happen to be an alim himself. And they said, "Well, you're such a big alim, why are you sitting with a poor sheikh who's not an alim himself?" And then he said, "You know, ana alim bi kitabillah, right? I am an alim with the book of Allah, wa huwa alimun billah, and he knows Allah." So he was taking something from him that he wouldn't have gotten otherwise. So what is the end of the knowing of the knowers, of the Gnostics? The end of their knowing is their inability to know him. And this, as Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, Al-'izzu 'an darkihi idrakuhu. Our inability to understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to comprehend Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is our understanding of him. It's incomprehensible in certain ways. But so that's the end. And then there's a gamut of, you could say there's a range of how people have ma'rifah. So how do you understand this? Right? So for example, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has certain asma and he has certain sifat, there are different people who reach different stages of ma'rifah. Right, so there's, when I say the word Al-Alim, people will interact with that name in different ways. So, you know, I remember the story of a young man who was going to college, and he said that he started just doing the dhikr of Ya Khaliq, right, Ya Khaliq. So all the time he would just be walking around, he says, Ya Khaliqu, Ya Khaliqu, Ya Khaliqu, Ya Khaliqu. All the time, just normal kid, but he's just always repeating this name, repeating this name, repeating this name. So he kept on doing that for such a time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens a certain fatah and a certain opening for him. And it became like the entire world around him, it's like the veil was lifted, and he saw Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala behind every single atom. Meaning that he saw, I mean, that's one way to put it. It's not like you saw Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in, like, even in the parking lot, in every, like, gravel, you could say he saw Allah. But that doesn't mean Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in every pebble of the gravel. What he saw was that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator. Every single thing that he was seeing was like a big billboard that was staring him in the face, that Allah created me, Allah created me. He couldn't escape. Like, at where he looked right, he looked left, he looked at the skies, he looks down, everything was saying, Allah created me. So he interacted with this name. So we all know Allah is the creator, but his ma'rifah now of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Khaliq is completely different than anything that we interact with. And similarly is the situation with each one of these names. Each one of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a journey. And a person can increase in ma'rifah in each one of these, and it has to do with how they understand his asma and his sifat. And one of the scholars, they said that, to explain it and make it easy, they said, okay, so, you know, Imam Muzani, who was one of the, you know, prominent students of Imam Shafi'i, he says, we know Imam Shafi'i. He said, كَانَ لَهُ بَوَّابٌ, he has a doorman, he also knows Imam Shafi'i. And Muzani also knows Imam Shafi'i. But the knowing of the doorman is not equal to the knowing of Muzani. So in the same way, the people who are close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who have the qurbi ilahi, they're close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they have the connection with Allah, they have that wisal, they have that nisbah with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their knowing and their ma'rifah is incomparable with the people who generally just know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for example, that Allahu ghafoor rahim. Allahu ghafoor rahim. So on one side we have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who in effect is a being that would have technically be unknowable to us, incomprehensible to us, unattainable by us, just by the sheer magnitude of his greatness. Laysa kamithlihi shay. There is nothing like him. Anything that you can think that Allah is, just know Allah is other than that. That's how we know him. So in one way he's unreachable, and that's to he's beyond infinity. And on our side, we're completely finite. And so that is problem of the square hole and the round peg. It's just you can't fit it. So how do you confine the infinite in the finite? There's no compatibility between the two. And these were technically two worlds that could never have been bridged. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through his rahmah, as an expression of his rahmah, allowed a bridge to exist, and that is the bridge of linguistics. So he allowed the bridge to exist in the form of language. And the first example of this is the Qur'an. Right? The Qur'an is a USB port that connects insan with the Khaliq. Technically, there should have been no connection. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, through my kalam, through language, he will allow this transcendent connection. And similar it is when it comes to us knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through his names. This is the doorway, so to speak, that we know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, well, I guess there's three terms here. Several terms here. I'm going to go through some of them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has certain names. We call those asma, right? Asma'ul husna, the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the beautiful names. And he has certain things called sifat, which are the characteristics of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there's a whole discussion that occurs amongst ulama of what is the difference between an ism or a name of Allah and a sifa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one easy way to break it down is that the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is exactly a particular ism that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed for himself in one of the nusus, in one of the primary texts, whether it's in the Quran. So inna Allah kana aliman hakeem. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself says that he's alim and he's hakeem. So who's saying it? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying it. It's established in the Quran, and these are names that he put for himself. Qul id'u Allah awid ar-Rahman. Call him Allah, call him ar-Rahman. This is a name that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed for himself, so that's exclusive for him. So over here, the lafz is thabit bin nas. The wording itself is established by a primary text. When it comes to sifat, the lafz is not thabit bin nas, but the ma'na is thabit bin nas. So over here, when it comes to the sifat, you don't have a particular word that says, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is X, Y, and Z. But you have something in the Quran and Hadith that gives a meaning about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? And that meaning is established by that, but it doesn't necessarily mean that that's the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So then the next discussion comes that, fine, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has asma and he has sifat. Are the asma of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tawqifi or the ijtihadi? And this is the next scholarly discussion. And that discussion is that, and I'm boiling it down, right? So it's a longer discussion. So now when tawqifi means that it is predicated only on our ability to know those are predicated and circumscribed and limited only to that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed. Meaning that you can only know it by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala letting us know. We can't figure it out. We can't do ijtihad. So you can't sort of say, Allah is a tabib. Allah heals, we know that, but you can't just say, like, can you say, Allahu tabib, you know, you're making dua and say, Allahumma ya tabib, right, ishfini. Can you make dua like that? So now you're applying the name tabib to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's your ijtihad, that you said, well, he cures, and doctor cures, so I'm going to call Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tabib and ask him to cure me. That's one aspect. Or you can't. And so one of the ways that this is reconciled, and Imam Ghazali, actually, he does this reconciliation because you have different madhahib on this. Some say that both are tawqifi, some say one is tawqif, and both are not ijtihadi. I think the Mu'tazilites say that. Which is not like an accepted sect anyway, but we mention them because they exist historically. And then the other aspect of it, and the reconciliation actually comes by Imam Ghazali, because he says that the asma are tawqifi. Meaning, when it comes to the ism of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is something which is limited to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put for himself or placed for himself. You can't make up another name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the sifat are ijtihadi. So you could say, for example, you don't say Ya Tabib when you're calling Allah, but you can say Ya Allah Anta Tabib, right? Ishfiri. So there's a very subtle difference, and then he said that that would be okay. Another way to look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, and closely related, is that there's three different aspects, right? This is not Trinity here. This is three different aspects of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One is the dhat of Allah, and that is the quintessential, that is the being of Allah himself. Right? We call that dhat. And then there's the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is not necessarily the dhat. So for example, you know, there could be person A, Ahmed, right? And Ahmed is tall. So Ahmed being, so there's a person, the being, what is the dhat? The dhat is Ahmed, right? Now the fact that he's tall, that's part of him being Ahmed. But is if I just say the word tall, or the concept of tall, that's not Ahmed himself. It's related to Ahmed, but it's not Ahmed. So the tallness is a sifa, and Ahmed himself is the dhat. And then the third aspect or dimension is af'al. So for example, Ahmed, he's dribbling a basketball. So the act of dribbling a basketball, that's an action that he's doing. The dribbling is being done by Ahmed, but it's not Ahmed himself. But it's associated, it's connected, it's emanating from the person or the dhat of Ahmed. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has all three aspects. He has the dhat, he has sifat, and he has af'al. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala effectuates something. He does things. ثُمَّ قَالَ لَهُ كُنْ. He said kun. That's something that he did. فَيَكُونَ. And it was. Now that when we talk about af'al, what we mean that is مُؤَثِّر بِالذَّات. That's something that is inherently and independently effectual. Now in all of these three aspects, the dhat, the sifat, and af'al, there's tawheed in all of these three aspects for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's tawheed, you know, there's different ways that people talk about tawheed. There's tawheed, and some people talk about tawheed uluhiyya, tawheed rububiyya, right? This was initially from Ibn Qayyim al-Jawzi, rahimahullah. He's one of the first people who made this distinction. But another way to think about tawheed is that there's tawheed in each one of these different aspects. There's tawheed in the dhat of Allah, right? There's only one Allah, and there's no sharik for him. There is no partner for him. And there's tawheed in his sifat, right? There is no one who has a hearing that is similar to the hearing of Allah. And there's no one who has, or you, another way you could say it, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is basir, he sees, but his seeing is unlike any of the seeing of his creation. Yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is alim, he knows, but his knowing is so beyond and incomprehensible, and it's unlike the knowing of any of his creations. His tawheed is khas with him. And his af'al are also, there's tawheed in that. Meaning that if you look at anything else that does anything, it's not the thing itself that does. وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا إِنْ يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who allows it to happen. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills for it not to happen and a person wants to do it, then they won't be able to do it. And if a person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants a person to do it and they don't want to do it, they'll still end up doing it. So this is the, you know, the example of, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can take a staff and he can part the Red Sea with it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can put whatever he wants. An example of this is a fire. So when we think that fire, you can see the dhat of fire has what sifa? What is it? What is the characteristic of fire? It is hot. And what is the fi'l? What is the action that fire does?
Burns.
So if there was tawheed, meaning independent effectuality to fire, it would always burn. But what happens is we see historically that it doesn't always have the ability to burn. Look at the example of Ibrahim, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Qulna ya nar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, oh fire, kuni barda, right? Be cold. Wa salamun ala Ibrahim, and be peaceful on Ibrahim. And so they built such a huge fire, and they put Ibrahim alayhi salam in the middle, and he was at peace. Nothing happened to him. So the ability of it to burn doesn't exist in the fire itself, it's with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why we say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fa'ili haqihi. The real person who does anything is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's a narration, and this is probably one of the narrations that names the most names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the riwayah of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. It's narrated in Tirmidhi and Ibn Hibban in the Mustadrak of Hakim. And that inna Allah tis'atun wa tis'ina isman. Indeed, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is 99 names. Mi'atun illa wahida, 100 except for ones. Man ahsaha dakhala al-jannah. Whosoever, literally ahsa yuhsi is to count. Whoever counts it, they'll enter into Jannah. And we'll talk about what that means. And then he said, huwa Allahu alladhi لا إله إلا هو الرحمن الرحيم الملك القدوس السلام المؤمن المهيمن العزيز الجبار المتكبر الخالق البارئ المصور الغفار القهار الوهاب الرزاق الفتاح العليم القابض الباسط الخافض الرافع المذل السميع البصير الحاكم العدل اللطيف الخبير الحليم العظيم الغفور الشكور العلي الكبير الحفيظ المقيد الحسيب الجليل الكريم الرقيب الكريم الرقيب المجيب الواسع الحكيم الودود المجيد الباعث الشهيد الحق الوكيل القوي المتين الولي الحميد المحصي المبدئ المعيد المحيي المميت الحي القيوم الواجد الماجد الواحد الصمد القادر المقتدر المقدم المؤخر الأول والآخر والظاهر والباطن الوالي المتوالي البر التواب المنتقم العفو الرحيم مالك الملك ذو الجلال والإكرام المقسط الجامع الغني المغني المانع الضار النافع النور الهادي البديع الباقي الوارث الرشيد الصبور. Right, and that's the end of the narration. And you read something like that, I mean, that was the Prophet alayhi salam. And وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ. I mean, imagine his level of ma'rifah. He didn't have someone to teach him. That's how he knew Allah. Right, and that was the gift that he said, you want, look, I know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he knew Allah. His ma'rifah was unlike the ma'rifah of any other individual. Right, his ma'rifah was the ma'rifah of Mi'raj. His ma'rifah was the ma'rifah of Sayyidul Anbiya wal Mursaleen. And so it was his gift that he allowed us also this window to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In a different narration of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there is no one who is afflicted by distress and grief and says, Allahumma inni abduka ibnu abdika wa ibnu amatika nasi'atu biyadik maldin fiyya hukmuka adlun fiyya qada'uka as'aluka bi kulli ismin huwa laka. So this is the thing. I just recalled here why I put this here. Is the question arises, does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have only 99 names, or does he have more than 99 names? And so the scholars actually say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala having 99 names, it's not limited to 99 names. Okay, and so how do you reconcile that with the hadith where it clearly says for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has 99 names? And so the answer to that is, like, say you have, if someone says that I have $50 in my pocket, that doesn't mean you only have one $50 bill, you can have another $50 bill. So if you have $100 bills, you're correct in saying that you have $50 in your pocket because you have 50 plus another 50. So in the basis of knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has names beyond that is the second portion of this hadith. He said, أَسْأَلُكَ بِكُلِّ إِسْمٍ هُوَ لَكَ. I ask you with every name that is for you. سَمَّيْتَ بِهِ نَفْسَكَ. That you have named yourself with it. وَأَنْزَلْتَ فِي كِتَابِكَ. And you have revealed it in your book. وَعَلَّمْتَهُ أَحَدًا مِنْ خَلْقِكَ. And you have taught someone from your creation that. وَإِسْتَأْثَرْتَ بِهِ فِي عِلْمِ الْغَيْبِ. And that you have preserved in the knowledge of the unseen. Indak. Right? That you have kept it to yourself. So we know that there's some names that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept to himself, and which means that something beyond the 99 names أن تجعل القرآن ربيع قلبي ونور صدري وجعل أهزني وذهاب همي so on and so forth. So it's not limited to these 99 names. So we talked during the hadith of Abu Huraira, the word that was used was ahsaha, right? That you count it. So what does that mean? Imam Bayilawi, he says there's three different levels to counting. The first level of counting is to count their words and their numbers. Then he said the second level is to understand their meaning, right? The fahmu ma'aniha. And then the third one is to make dua with them. And actually it comes in verse of the, one verse in the Quran, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى, and for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the beautiful names, فَادْعُوهُ بِهَا, and so call him with those names. So when you're in say your heart is broken, call on, say Ya Jabbar, right, Ujburni. If you feel that, you know, you've made a big mistake, you say Ya Ghafar, Ighfirli. Right, if you feel that you need some strength, then you say ya qawi, qawine. You know, like what you look at your situation and you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appropriately with the name in that situation. I used to have this one student, it was really, I mean, beautiful. He said that he used to sit with his kids and every day they would make dua with all the Asma'ul Husna. This is like a daily thing that they would do. They would say, no, Ya Rahman, Ya Allah, no, Ya Rahim, Ya Allah, and they would go through all the names and then they would make their dua. And such a beautiful tarbiyah for his children, you know. So ahsaha has a lot of different aspects. One of them is also to look for them. And to search for them, right? To look for them in the Quran and the Hadith, or to look for them for occasions in your life. You look at different circumstances that you are in, and to make dua with munasaba, right? This is a concept that a lot of people don't know, but this increases the probability of the dua being accepted, right? So one thing is just to make a random dua. You can just make any dua. But one thing is that you look at your circumstances, you look at what's going on, and you make a dua and you craft the dua according to that circumstance. I'll give you one example. This increases the probability that the dua will be accepted. You look at Zakariya alayhi salam. So he enters on Maryam alayhi salam, and she's in her mihrab, she's doing her ibadah. كُلَّمَا دَخَلَ عَلَيْهَا زَكَرِيَ الْمِحْرَابِ وَجَدَ عِنْدَهَا رِزْقًا. He was already advanced in age, his wife was advanced in age, there's no chance that they're going to have a child. He enters into her, وَجَدَ عِنْدَهَا رِزْقًا, he finds with her fruit that is out of season. Right? I mean, they didn't have refrigeration back in the old days. So, you know, mangoes only come in summer, they're not going to come in winter. So, imagine he comes in winter and he sees mangoes. قَالَ يَا مَرْيَمُ أَنَّ لَكِ هَذَا. He said, how did this come to you? She said, قَالَتْ هُوَ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ, it's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَرَزُقُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives risk to whoever he wants. He doesn't have to count. It doesn't matter what season it is. It doesn't matter the time of day. He just gives. So when she said this, he said that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give her fruit out of season, then why can't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give me a child out of season? So هُنَالِكَ دَعَى زَكَرِيَّ رَبَّهُ. Right then and there he made dua to his Lord. And then in response to that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him Yahya alayhi salam. So this is what we call dua with munasaba. And the same thing applies with any of these names, that you look for chances, you look for circumstances where you can, when you can make dua with these names. So man ahsaha, also man hafidhaha, right? Whosoever protects them. So one way to protect them is to memorize them. The second way to protect them is to reflect upon the names and try to reflect those names in your actual life. And we already talked about that. تَخَلَّقُ بِأَخْلَاقِ اللَّهِ. And then the other thing is to believe in them in the right form. So we don't take them to extremes. We don't distort their meaning, that we understand it in the right way. So all of these meanings are included here.